Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's good, San Diego? Welcome in to Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello out, enjoying a little vacation time. Adam Klug on the ones and twos back in the studio. It is a Friar Friday this day. And what better day, last homestand, last series of the year at home. And our Friar Friday guest will be none other than Manny Machado. So Scraby's going to have to do some kind of aerobics to get from where he is down to the dugout. We'll conduct the interview there. But first, I'll welcome in my co-host, Matthew Scraby. How are you today, man? You doing all right? You keeping it together?
I'm sweaty, Tony. I'm not going to lie. I'm sweaty. It is. I don't know how Sam does this with like a jacket on and a long shirt, because I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt, and it's been a lot so far. Yeah. But I am really happy to be here. It hasn't been a while. It's been a while since I've been down here for like a real legit show from the stadium.
Real legit show is what you have today with myself, and we have the Padres in action against the White Sox. And you know, I know the kind of heartburn that is somehow giving everybody out there, that the worst team in baseball could come in here and actually know how to play baseball. Go figure. We'll see how it all. We'll see how it all unfolds. Padres 2 games up coming into tonight's action ahead of the Diamondbacks, who have the second spot. The Mets have opened up a 2-game lead on the Atlanta Braves, who are chasing the last spot. So lots of good things going on. I think we kind of have to start somewhere elsewhere than the Padres right now. I mean, they had an off day. Certainly, Joe Musgrove toes the rubber today. We'll get into that. But last night, history was made. Shohei Ohtani goes 50-50. And he didn't just say, all right, I'm going to get my two homers in and I'm going to end the day. He goes 6-for-6, 3 homers, a double, or 2 doubles, right, and and a single. So this is truly like MLB The Show, like on like rookie level, like where you know the cylinder thing is like super big. No matter where they throw it, it's like a homer. I promise you, the record tying homer, I swear he flicked that ball the other way all the way into the back end of the seats there. It was ridiculous.
It seems like he does that to every home run, though.
It kind of does. I feel like he's gotten off his A swing more than I feel like anybody in the league this year. Like, what I mean by A swing is, like, everything is matched up perfectly. Like, you hit the ball as hard as you can. You timing's right. I feel like he's done that more often than anybody else this year.
Yeah, Adam's got the third home run ready to go on the screen. Let's check this one out and see how far he hit this one.
Watching this guy.
Oh, my gosh! Shohei Ohtani! The greatest day in baseball history!
Now, you might be saying to yourself, man, that seemed over the top. But it really wasn't. By that time, it was literally his third homer of the game. He had touched a little bit of all of the stadium in this particular ball game. And at one point, they panned over to my man Skip Schumacher, who was, you know, now we got like we got lip readers everywhere, apparently.
Everywhere.
So apparently, he basically was like, bleep that. Mm-hmm. I got too much respect for this man to do that bleep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, basically, you know, there's been some talk, why didn't he walk him? I mean, guys, if it would have been like a one-run game, two-run game, I even would extend you the courtesy three-run game. Fine. But it wasn't. They were getting tapped at that point. It was 14-3, if I'm not mistaken, when he hit that homer right there. And by the way, they added three more runs after that. So
they did.
It was 11-3. So by fault, they added six more runs after this homer. So, you know, I just think that, you know, I think, first of all, it's not a surprise Skip felt that way. That is how, you know, it should be thought of, right? You know, you don't run from a guy when you're up or when you're down 9-8 runs at that point. You pitch to him. You know, the situation didn't call for an intentional walk. But nonetheless, Shohei Ohtani sets history, and it just seemed like all of the kind of small chatter that Francisco Lindor was, it just got washed away last night. Mm-hmm. Like whatever conversations were being had, that goes bye-bye now.
Now, you heard, is his name Joe Davis? Yeah, Joe Davis. Joe Davis said the greatest day of all time. Is that too much?
You know, I'm pretty critical when it comes to like things being said like that. I'm not a fan of like going overboard with saying. But I mean, three homers, two doubles, a single. I don't know if he had any
two
bags.
Stolen bases.
He had two bags.
17 total bases in the game.
He created his own club. It very well could be the greatest game ever played, like in terms of what he did individually that day. I know there's some four homer guys out there, which is pretty cool. But I mean,
yeah, Scooter Jeanette is furious right now.
6-for-6. Yeah. And he was showing you a little bit of everything he had in his bag. All right, I give you a couple doubles. Throw you a couple homers, steal you a couple bags. Only thing he couldn't do was pitch. And if he was healthy, we might have got a dose of that too.
Yeah. I was reading earlier because we talked about it in studio in the commercial break. And I was like, well, Acuna went 40-70 last year. Why isn't Acuna being celebrated more for that? Because it's 20 more steals than Shohei Ohtani and obviously less home runs. But so I found an article from someone out there, and they were saying that major leaguers liken the gap from 30 to 40 as a canyon, and a gap from 40 to 50 is like the Mount Everest size gap between those two. So,
and that's what I was telling you yesterday. Like the number 50 in baseball terms, especially, I mean, as with regards to homers, that's a big deal. Like 40's big, but 50's gigantic. You know what I'm saying? Like, there aren't very many guys who've hit 50 homers that have throughout the history of baseball. So that's a huge number, and that's why I think it's a much bigger deal than 40-70 or whatever it was that Ronald did. By the way, we got some sound from my man Skip Schumacher on why he chose to pitch to him.
I think that's a bad move, baseball wise, karma wise, baseball god wise. You go after him and see if you can get him out. And I think out of respect for the game, we're going to go after him. He hit the home run. I mean, you know, that's just part of the deal. He's hit 50 of them. He's the most talented player I've ever seen. He is doing things that I've never seen done before in the game. And if he has a couple more of these peak years, he might be the best ever to play the game. So as a fan, yeah, I wish I was in the stands, not in the dugout seeing it. I'm proud of like the guys that were attacking him and not scared of him. And that's how you should go after it. And then, you know, he hit the home run. I mean, I know Bauman didn't want the home run to be hit, but he hit it. And so it was a good day for baseball, bad day for the Marlins, you know, but a good day for the game of baseball.
Class act. I mean, that's why he's in the role that he's. I got to say, a bunch of things went through my mind as he was talking about how proud he was of the guys that attacked him and weren't scared. For a lot of those guys, they will remember that and they'll be better because of it, right? They're going to face Ohtani again, and they're going to have that in the back of their mind. And it'll make them better as they go forward. You can't learn anything by being scared to go against. I mean, that's ultimately why we play this game. That's why you get to the big leagues. That's why you play, is you want to measure yourself against the very, very best. And here's an opportunity, even though you could be on clips for the rest of lifetime, you still are there to compete. And so I don't understand. I wouldn't be able to understand someone who was in that position and was scared and like didn't attack.
Yeah, I sometimes think of these things as, I know that the guy who threw the pitch doesn't want to be involved with this, but at the same time, you get to say, I mean, I know it's not the greatest thing to tell people, but at the same time, you might be in the history books getting the 50th home run off of one of the best players of all time. I still think that's kind of cool, even though you gave up the home run.
If I'm not like rushing to tell anybody
that
was me who gave up the homer. But if it comes up, I'll put my hand up. Yeah, that was
like,
me.
Who did you face in your career? You're gonna be like, oh well, yeah, I gave up the 50th home run to Shohei Ohtani.
That certainly wouldn't be how it would come up. It would be more like, hey man, weren't you on the mound that day when Ohtani hit it? Yeah, and I'd just keep it short, and they'd have
just
to keep digging
short.
Keep digging in order to finally get the answer out of it.
I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I was on the mound that day.
He's done it to so many people in his career. It's not like he's the only guy that Shohei Ohtani hit a home run off of.
That's fine. I'm sure he won't be the only homer he hits off some of these guys. But if the conversation came up and it was like, I wouldn't be volunteering that information.
I get that.
You know what I'm saying?
I do get that, because ultimately it's kind of clowning yourself that you're... But at the same time,
I wouldn't be ashamed
of
it. I just wouldn't be bringing it up on my own. Anyway,
I would like to apologize for a tweet I sent last night. Actually, I saw a new term for tweet that I think is hilarious. It's called a zeet. It's a X plus tweet is a zeet.
Oh, zeet. Okay.
After Shohei hit his third home run, I said, my goodness, Shohei, save some room for later. And I didn't even think about what I was saying, but I would like to apologize to the fan base. I do not want
Shohei. Save. Oh yeah, we're about to play.
I do not want Shohei Ohtani to come here and hit six home runs. Okay,
I'm sure your mentions were up there.
I was more concerned about my Willy Wonka reference than I was about the outcome of the actual Z. So I'm going to apologize for that Z, and no bad luck is coming the Padres' way. I promise.
Back to our Padres. They're in action tonight. 6:40 fireworks here. Tonight.
Ooh.
at Petco Park. Currently, some White Sox getting some early work. And I like this note that Sam Levitt had earlier today. He pulled it and threw it in the grid. He said, as we entered spring training, we didn't know with certainty who would be playing left field and center field every day for the Padres. Here's what Jerickson Profar and Jackson Mira have combined to produce. 47 homers, 169 RBIs, 287 batting average between the two guys. And you know, it is something when you rewind back and think about I don't feel like anybody was in a panic because it's early in the season. But when you go back and the uncertainty of how it looked at the beginning of spring training, right? You fast forward to like midpoint in spring training, the picture starts to become a little bit clearer, and you know you're going to have Merrill and Jackson, right? Or Merrill and Profar out there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then the season happens and they take off like gangbusters. And it was just, I don't know, it just, you could not have drawn it up any better between those two guys, just going back to the very beginning of spring training.
I mean, if Jackson Merrill in spring training was turning heads the entire time, and I kept trying to make it a thing, and I get it, spring training doesn't mean that what you do in spring training is going to carry over to the regular season, but he showed all of us in spring training that he could handle this, or at least start the season on the big league team, and he's good. He's going to be, you know,
yeah.
It was a huge, huge move for AJ Preller and Cody Bay.
He's certainly good, but there's just no way that you could base anything off of spring training. We see guys kill spring training consistently every year, and it looked completely different. So you're right. He had a great spring, but there is no way you could have predicted anything that we've seen. All right, we've rolled through the first segment of the day. We'll get to break, come back, talk some more Padres on the other side, plus Manny Machado. At some point, we don't have an exact time yet, but sometime between 2:30 and the time that Mike Schilt is going to speak, we will have Manny on the show. So sit back, relax, enjoy. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back in to Gwynn and Chris. I am Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. and I are going to be talking to Manny Machado here, hopefully before the 3 p.m. hour starts, but we will be talking to Manny Machado today. We may have a little bit of some moving parts in the show today. We may have to hear from Mike Schilt from this morning, Ben and Woods. They interviewed Mike Schilt, so we're going to have to go down. We're going to have to set up in the dugout. It's going to be a nice, good sit-down conversation with Manny Machado. So stick with us today. We got a lot of good things planned.
Yes, please stick to us. A lot of good things planned. Manny Machado at some point later on here in the show. I was thinking about this, Scrape. You know, Otani's hitting balls into the stands. There was one video of the chaos that ensued on the 50th. I know where you're going to come down on this. But I'm going to ask anyway.
Okay.
If you're in the stands and you get an Otani ball, what are you doing? Are you giving it back? Is there an obligation to give it back? Or are you keeping it and cashing in?
Cub Scout in me, the honorable person in me, says give it back. But the greedy, selfish person in me says keep it. And
wait, hold up real quick. For those who are watching on YouTube and you're looking at the video right now, my man is getting crushed by a table. Yeah. And one of the dudes is like holding the table like in place to keep him from moving further. It didn't stop my man. He got to that ball. You see the bodies that are all on the floor there. As
the carnage.
As he comes away. But here's the question. Because all of us, I think, have both of those individuals in us, right? The morally sound, like, do the right thing guy, and the greedy guy or good gal. Which one is going to rule in that moment?
I mean, with $200,000 on the line is what I'm reading and what we read going into it, I think I'm being the greedy person, because that's not just that's life-changing money for me.
I appreciate your honesty on that one.
What about you?
I think I'm giving it back, man.
I guess you're a little bit different, though. You've been around baseball. It's not like but 200 grand in your pocket, that's a lot of money, even for money back over there.
I can use 200 grand in my pocket, like, pronto. I know how much those, and maybe 50-50 isn't that big a deal. It's different for each guy, right? I mean, maybe that's not the one that he's like, ooh, I got to have it. You know what I'm saying? At this point, it seems like Otani's going to be doing things like this often. Maybe it's, you know, homer number 400 or whatever it may be. Maybe it's something along those lines. But I would be inclined to give it back, I think.
It's the nicer thing to do. It's the more decent thing to do. Now, if this guy is being someone who's like, I need this, and this for you to get your ball back, I'm not into that. Like, if you want to pay me some money, if I get to go meet Otani or get, like, you know, seats in a suite or something like that. But if you're going to, like, demand, like some of these guys do with the balls that they catch, guys and gals, if you're going to demand things, then I'm out. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. You're just at a baseball game. The ball happened to find you.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the demanders.
Demanders.
For the record, my man who caught the ball, he has opted to walk away with it. So he's gonna get that 200 racks that you're talking about there, Scrabe. And, you know,
Did you see on the video where he, like, got the ball and he put it in the air and then someone tried to grab it? I'm like, if I get that ball, I am putting it somewhere where no one can grab
it. Hey, I was about to say, it would have been all on him if he got that ball snatched out of his hand after putting it in the air like that. Like, were you not just in the fight to get the ball? Do you think
wasn't
that
your neck pinned to the ground by a table so that you could get the ball?
Did you not think somebody was going to try to snatch that out of your hand? You absolutely right. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, it's craziness.
Nonetheless, Adam, what is going on with the cameras, man? You like are having a good old time with the two and the three.
Because his computer has to supply the audio, so he has to be on screen, but he doesn't want to be on screen with us.
You got to be on screen today, Adam. It's all good.
Just trying to get you guys back to video you were talking about.
I know, but I was over here like doing this, sliding over, trying to make sure I'm lined up in the middle. By the way, since RBIs have become an official thing since in 1920, only one MLB player has had, over the course of his career, a 10 RBI day, a 6-hit day, a game with 5 extra base hits, a game with 3 homers, a game with 2 stolen bases. You know who that is?
Shohei Ohtani.
The only one.
One guy in the entire history of Major League Baseball, which is incredible.
We get close to the end. You know, these official, who they think is going to make the playoffs, they start coming up with rankings, right? And one of the rankings that posted today was best rotations for the playoffs. Now, the good part about this is they already consider the Padres as a playoff team, even though it hasn't officially been clinched.
Yeah.
But they rolled through kind of the top pitching staffs that, you know, will be into the playoffs. Where would you think the Padres are ranked? This is a Yahoo Sports.
Is this in the entirety of their
entirety,
pitching
national
staff,
and American?
Not the rotation only. It's everything.
That's a good question. Let me check.
I believe it's everything.
It is everything.
Okay.
Wait. No. Let me check. Computer's a little slow today, guys.
I think it's everything because I kind of briefly looked at this earlier.
No, it's not. It's not everything.
It's just the rotation.
Starting rotations.
Oh, yeah. It says it right there in the URL. I would think the Padres would be up there. I would. Like in the top five.
I need a number.
I would say, let's see, Phillies. I would say number 4.
Close.
Where are they?
3.
3 behind the Phillies and who else?
Hold on, I told you my screen is taking forever to pop up now. Phillies are 1. Who do you think is 2?
I'm just going to say maybe the team that was Astros?
Good, Scraby, you are learning some things, man.
I mean, Framber and the Ben guy from the other day. I don't remember his last name. But, yeah. Ben Johnson
the Ben
was his
guy
name, maybe?
From the other day?
I don't know.
Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown, that's it.
Yusei Kikuchi, Spencer Arrighetti, and Ronel Blanco, who we didn't see in that series. And I skipped Verlander because we didn't see him in that series either. But they're 2. Padres are 3. They have the Padres as the 3rd best rotation. And they only list the 4, yet they still have them as the best rotation. They're one of the best rotations out there. Follow the Padres, the Braves, who very well may not get in. Yankees at 5, Mets at 6, Royals at 7, Dodgers at 8, Diamondbacks 9, Milwaukee 10. So
where are the Dodgers? Did you say them? Sorry.
They're 9. Oh, no, they're 8. 9. Excuse me. They're 8. The Seems Padres like a- are 3, Dodgers are 8, Diamondbacks are 9 in terms of starting rotations.
Did the person that put together this list, did they check and see what the Dodgers had going on in their rotation right now? Because it's not the greatest in the world. Who's worse than they are?
Diamondbacks, Brewers, Tigers, Orioles, Twins, Guardians.
All right, well, they have to put the Dodgers in the top 10 or no one's going to click on the article. So that's just how it works. They have to put the Dodgers in the top 10.
Oh, that's crazy.
I saw Z, I know we need to get downstairs, but I saw Z yesterday from a Dodgers fan saying, guys, we're not going deep in the playoffs because of
our
pitching.
Are we really going to try to make this Zeke thing like?
I think
fit?
I'm trying
you're,
to make it. A
you're
thing.
Trying to make it happen.
Do you not like the Zeke?
I'm already tweets already ingrained in me. Huh?
I guess Adam just said we don't call it X, so why are we calling it a Zeke? Because every article you read
that's
now,
that's a good point.
It's posted on X in parentheses, formerly known as Twitter.
I've noticed
every single time. Like it's been over a year. When are we going to stop doing that?
I definitely noticed that as well. All right, let's get to break. Scraby and I are going to head down to the dugout to get ready for this interview. Meanwhile, Mike Shildt joined Ben and Woods earlier this morning. You guys will get a chance to hear that interview on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
We are joined by Padres skipper Mike Shildt, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. And off days at home in baseball are very rare. With no travel,
yeah.
I mean, throughout the course of the season, you may get two or three of them. This late in the season, Mike, I'd imagine that's a valuable day yesterday. How you doing, and how did you spend an off day at home?
It was nice. I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing well also.
Yeah.
It was a relaxing day. Caught up on a few personal things that can slip by as the season goes, and enjoyed the beautiful San Diego weather, and went to Michael King and his wife Sheila's event last night for type 1 diabetes they're raising money for, and that was a really well done event for a great cause, and did a lineup and got ready for getting ready for today's game.
Now, before we get into it, Woodsy doesn't really want to ask you, but he's got to bring it up because you've been dealing with the rule changes.
It's kind of hard to believe you don't want to ask.
I know, but he doesn't. This is actually something he doesn't want to ask.
All right.
You've dealt with like rule changes and the three batter minimum and everything in baseball. So he's coaching his little league team, and they have laid on this list of rules that he cannot even believe, and he needs just some help here. He needs some help managing his little league team, Pinto League team.
They laid these rules on me, Shilty, about guys having to play a certain amount in the infield, in the outfield, and spend time on the bench. I just wanted to, I'll take the Pod Sunday. You take the Durham Bulls in LCYO League. I don't know that anybody could figure these rules out. I realize, and I know you spent time, coaching youths at the start of your career. What is your advice for burgeoning coaches in the game of baseball, 6 and 7 year olds?
I think the most important thing at that age is they enjoy it. I think it's really kind of no different than our guys. You want them to make sure when they come to practice, they come to the ballpark, they're excited about it. So I think that starts there. If they're not looking forward to it and they're not going to enjoy themselves, then it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge to whatever you're trying to accomplish. But get them to enjoy it. No labels. It really bothers them. It happens younger and younger at the youth levels where young players are being graded and evaluated and even cut. And we know it's competition, but, as an A player, B player, C player, it's interesting. When I ran an academy, we did some travel teams, 100 years ago, and we had a really good group. We started with a group of 15-year-olds because I thought that was time where players should start to maybe, if they were serious about it still at 15, and they were wanting to go play collegially, I'd do my best to help them. So we put together this really, really good group of players that ended up doing some pretty cool things as a sidebar. But anyway, I got a guy named Brian Keegan, who at the time was an area scout and a pro scout with Tampa. And at the time, he was with Houston. And I said, hey, Keegs, would you evaluate this group and give me a little bit of a write-up on the guys, So we did a workout, and he came up to me and says, I got nothing for you. I said, you're a great evaluator. What do you mean? He said, well, yeah, I think I'm a pretty decent evaluator. And the guy really is a great judge of talent. He's rightfully in the profession. So he said, man, for me, it's too hard for me to judge what a 15-year-old player is going to be. And it just resonated with me clearly, because here's a guy that's really good at evaluating talent. And at 15, he had a hard time identifying players. They grow, they mature differently. And at that point, we didn't label anybody. We let kids play. And I think it's a real mistake for kids to be, I'm only this, I'm only that, I can't play this. Let them play everywhere. Let them enjoy it. Let them have good experiences. Teach off what they can do. and then they can learn to think and play for themselves, and they'll enjoy it more.
It's a great answer. Great answer. So so Keegs will not come out and evaluate the Pinto Durham Bulls on Sunday.
He would not.
All right,
he would
good.
Not.
Then I guess I shouldn't either.
All right, let's start with something.
Just
kind
let him have fun, man. All right. You know. Let him run around.
I want to start with something kind of fun because I was down there on Monday, and all of a sudden I look and go, that's Albert Pujols.
Yeah, crazy.
And he was there with his daughter to see Manny play, which was cool. But I saw you spending some time with him on the field, you know, all that time together in the Cardinals organization. And I wanted to ask you, obviously, there were a lot of things that turned Albert Pujols into a Hall of Famer, you know, mashing the ball, picking it over there at first base. But what did you see in Albert, and then what do you see maybe in some of your own players that makes a guy successful in the big leagues to that level, to that Hall of Fame level?
Hunger, competitive spirit, drive. I mean, you know, talent clearly is there. But, you know, if you want to put together – seasons, you want to contribute to winning teams, put together seasons, put together a career where you stack up numbers and get the most out of your physical ability, you give nothing away. And Albert was I talked to him, got to know him, consider him to be a really good friend. He's a great guy, wonderful human being, does a lot of great things for community and charity. But I also learned by watching him. And I remember after he won his second MVP, I was just, you know, I'm always curious. I just want to study people because, you know, people's actions are going to speak louder than their words. And I was like, all right, he won his second MVP. He's coming to spring training. How's he going to go about it? And I remember being in the first spring training game, and I'd gotten to a point in the big league camp where I'd gotten, you know, a little more comfortable to be around. And, you know, it was a rite of passage kind of to get into it. But anyway, I'm sitting right beside Albert. And spring training games are starting. This is like 2008 or 9, whatever year it was. And I'm just getting a feel for, like, okay, what's this cat going to be like, you know? And he always had his towel. Of course, it was, you know, even humid at that time of year in March. Late March in Jupiter. And he's just scowling and stalking the pitcher. And, you know, like I say, first spring training game, people are enjoying it, you know, having a good time. Not to say guys aren't paying attention, but it's just, you know, it's loose. And this guy was absolutely just stalking this dude. And he gave nothing away. And I watched him in his, and you know, if you wanted to find Albert at, you know, at spring training, 7 o'clock, he was going to be with Dave McKay in the cage doing his routine every single day.
Wow.
And you walked in and you wanted to watch it. It was great, but he wasn't going to be talking. He wasn't going to be hanging out. He wasn't going to be BSing. He was going to be working. And he just never gave anything away. And we have a lot of players that are very similar to that. You know, they love competition and they love, you know, paying attention to the game and seeing the game and getting after it.
It's a great answer, great player. It was. I had no idea he was going to be there, and he walked out, and I was like, that's the machine, and he's right there in front of me. You're going to love this one, Shilty, because I got chewed out yesterday on the Padres roundtable by Tony Gwynn Jr. Because I tweeted about Jerkson Profar. I love Profar so much, but I the bunt in the third inning, and he chewed me out yesterday on the roundtable. I'm ready for you to chew me out here, but my question to you is, knowing we all know this about Pro, we know he plays his game, we know you let him play his game. If there's a situation where Pro comes up in that situation again, maybe different circumstances, you as the skipper, would you ever let him know through Tim Leeper or somebody else, don't bunt? We don't want you bunting here. We want you to swing away, Pro, because we like what you can do? Or is he just kind of free to roam, I guess?
So Tony Gwynn didn't satisfy your answer.
I guess I'm a glutton for punishment, Skip, I guess.
I don't know, man. It's a fair question. I'm just curious. No, I understand the question, but I'm going to go back to what I was saying about, and clearly different levels.
Of sure.
That, but my encouragement to the youth level, your job ultimately is to help players understand the game and to teach them the game. You know, regardless of the level you're going to be at, 6-7-year-olds, clearly a different, you know, teaching level. But as you get to higher levels of baseball, one of the biggest things you can do, because what ends up happening when you let them play the game and you teach through the game, is you develop players that are confident and trust themselves.
Yeah.
And they know that you trust them. The other thing that nothing's absolute in this game. And that's where I think we can get in trouble. Not to say this is always the right way, what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the way I see the world.
Sure.
And it's worked for me. And when I say nothing, everything can look the same. But the beautiful thing about the game is the depth of layers that go into the divisions. And so when people look at something in every situation in an absolute way, like, he can't bunt there. He shouldn't be bunting there. Yeah. He should be doing X or Y. Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair question. I can understand why he'd ask the question. But if you look up and recognize, like, I don't live in Pro Forrest's body.
Sure.
But Drax, you know, Pro, as you most people know, played in two Little League World Series championships, right? Won one, lost one. Okay, so when he was 11 and 12, he's been playing high-level, competitive, meaningful, top-of-the-level that he's at baseball games. And he's been doing that since he was 11 and 12 years old. So he's been doing that for 20 years, right? There's some intuition about the game that takes place after that period of time, right? I don't see this guy very well. I'm not feeling as good.
Yeah.
I've got some intuition about Valdez being a guy that's really tough. You know, he's on the ground a lot. He's tough to score on. We want to get an early lead. We got a good bullpen. So all these factors, and then, like I said, how he sees him, how he feels, how he knows the guy behind him swinging the bat. So all these are pretty big variables. By the way, the guy behind him is Manny that day. So, you know, those are the things that when you know you have intuitive players that know the game, see the game, and I say this a lot, championship players think and do for themselves, then that trust factor allows them to be free and play and not get on and later and be like, well, I don't see that guy. I'm not saying that was the case with Profar, but
yeah.
And then there is discussions. There's always discussions, you know, going into games, you know, and players have a game plan. And, you know, that's the thing that's beautiful about it is it's situational and there is communication about what and why. So longer answer to your question, but.
It's a great answer.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot of sense because, Woods, you've been doing radio for a while now, and you've probably had someone who says, hey, the numbers tell you you should be teasing this in this segment. You go, I know, though. I know my audience. I know better.
Yeah.
And you do it your way,
sure.
And someone will criticize
100%.
You. That's not how you should do it, Woods, but you do it your way because you know because you have the experience. And I think that's what Mike is saying.
That's the thing that is also can be challenging, right? As you do something that, you know, Tony would say, you know, manage with your gut, don't cover your butt. You know what, based on your experience, or a player knows, and you trust the player to go perform.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't always work out. But the second you do something that's against some kind of perceived norm or absolute, or is, you open yourself up. And that's, you know, that's the gig, man. But, you know, the multiple layers of understanding the why is really where I live, at least.
It's such a great lead-in, I guess, Shilty, to the pad is that, you know, a team, you'll see it, and I don't want to name any teams, but we've all seen it. Like, a team will play a certain way in the regular season, and then the playoffs come, and obviously, I've got no idea. We have no idea what it's like to play or manage in a game of that much magnitude and pressure. How, I guess tempting is not the right word, but I guess maybe how tempting is it to tighten up a little bit while, you know, you got to stay loose as the skipper, they got to stay loose as players, but obviously the pressure's on. How hard is it to continue to play a little free and easy when, you know, the clock strikes October?
It's a fair question, and it's not, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's not, you know, it's not a challenge, but what I look for every day, whether it's the first game in Seoul, Korea, or a game in April or May or whenever, that I prepare every day like it's a playoff game. Like, my preparation will not change today or 2 weeks from now or the end of October. The game's a game. I owe the opportunity every day to be fully prepared and to stay present and to compete in the moment and to take it all with the, you know, every situation, be on task and on point. And that way, when you get to, you know, big moments or big games or whatever the case may be, you just normalized, you know, the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing the game and doing what the game calls for, as Toddy talks about. When you do that, you just get lost in the competition. Then that's all you can do. You know, I mean, it's people like, oh, you want to bring more, you want to do more, you got to do more. Because, no, man, you do it all year. You do it every day. You do it in every circumstance. And you just, like I said, you normalize excellence to be prepared and regardless of a situation. I mean, I owe that to the club and owe it to the, you know, people that show up and support us, and owe it to the organization to be on point at every turn. And, you know, that's regardless of circumstance.
That being said, and this is the last thing for me, knowing that you're preparing for tonight, you know, playoff game one at a time, you're just trying to win as many as possible. At this time of year, I'd imagine you have to have some forethought, you know, with what is coming up. Playoffs, setting up, making sure guys are set up and ready for a big series. What are those conversations like in terms of strategic planning as you now get close to October?
We haven't accomplished anything yet, you know. So, you know, we just keep moving down the line, you know, keep playing, keep going about it. There will be a time soon that, you know, we're looking forward to that. You know, now you start to have a more clarity of what the picture looks like. But right now, it's play today, get after today, and shake hands at the end of the day.
Not yet. All right, that's fair enough. All right, good luck this weekend. I know I don't have to worry that you're taking. We don't even have to ask you. We know you're taking the White Sox as seriously as you'd be taking the Dodgers or any other team. So good luck this weekend against the White Sox. It's been an incredible season, especially at home. I know the fans want to just kind of say a thank you this weekend. It'll be big crowds and everything. So what a fun year this has been. And we'll talk to you next week when you guys are getting ready for that last series in Arizona.
Sounds great. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks. There he is. Skipper Mike Shildt, our manager's report.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.